Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Notice, a time to every purpose under heaven. God is extremely precise in His timing for every purpose. In Genesis chapter 1 in verse 14, when God put the lights in the firmament, that is, the sun and the moon and the stars, He put them there to divide the day from the night and to let them be for signs, watch it, and for seasons and for days and for years. Days and years are marked by the lights that are in the firmament. And so, God already knows when certain things will happen. He has them scheduled in the same way that you mark your calendar about future events or set alarms for near events so that you'll be reminded of them. God has His calendar set. He has things scheduled. Now, we're going to look at a few examples. We're not going to be exhaustive here. A few examples of some things that we know God set in advance, down to the year in advance of their occurrence. Turn to Genesis chapter 5 and look at verse 22. God set the time for the flood. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. You say, well, how in the world would you know that God set the time for something there? Well, Methuselah means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Enoch knew something catastrophic was going to happen. And as a result of that, Enoch began to walk with God and walked with God for the next 300 years until God took him. And so when you run out the dates from Methuselah, who lived to be 900 and 69 years, according to Genesis 2:27. You take the time from the date of his birth to the time of his death and run it out with the other dates in the chronology of the lives of these men, you find out that the year he died is the year the flood came. The flood came the exact same year that Methuselah died. God had it set and gave that name to Enoch and used that as a warning of the event that would happen upon the death of Methuselah. Here's another example. Not only did God set the time for the flood, God set the time for the Exodus. Turn to Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, and look at verse 13. Now, you could get a little bit knotted up, okay, in our explanation, and we don't want to do that, but we do want to give you the key verses that you would need to see in order to know that God did know the time of the Exodus and set that time long before the Exodus came. All right, so look with me in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, and notice, God said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them." Semicolon. So that's one statement. Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they, that is that nation, shall afflict them, that is thy seed, 400 years. So the nation whom the seed would serve was also going to be the nation that would afflict his seed, and the period of time from the beginning of that affliction to the end of that affliction would be 400 years. Well, it turns out that the nation is Egypt, and the affliction started in Genesis chapter 21, verse 9. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 9, we read about the birth of Isaac in Genesis 21, and then his weaning in verse 8, and then in verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, look at the next two words, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. So Ishmael was mocking Isaac after Isaac had been weaned. The mocking that you're reading about in Genesis 21, verse 9, took place exactly 30 years after Abram first went down to Egypt in Genesis chapter 12. Go back to Genesis chapter 12 and look at verse 10. And in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into, look at it, Egypt, to sojourn there. You see that word? For the famine was grievous in the land. Well, the prophecy in Genesis 15:13 said that they would sojourn, okay? There would be a sojourning there, and they would be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, okay? So what you have then is this. Thy seed would be afflicted by the nation, in this case, Egypt, 400 years. That starts in Genesis 21, verse 9. And the stranger in a land that is not theirs began in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, when Abram first went down there. Now watch it. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. And watch this. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 and 41, look at this beautiful thing. The Bible says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." That selfsame day is the selfsame day that Abram first went into Egypt in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. It's an amazing thing. And you put those prophecies together, you can reconcile it right down to the year. Abram was born in 1996 B.C. He entered Egypt in 1921 B.C. when he was 75 years old. And the Jews left Egypt in 1491 B.C., exactly 430 years later. God set the time for the Exodus. Amazing, amazing. He set the time for the flood. He set the time for the Exodus. Let's look at another one. God set the time for the Jewish captivity. God set the time for the Jewish captivity. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 19. And what do we read? When Nebuchadnezzar sent Nebuzaradan into Judah in order to take Judah captive and to destroy eventually the city, notice what we read. They burnt the house, as 2 Chronicles 36, 19. They burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. That's 70 years. 70 years. The Jews were held captive by the Chaldeans to allow the land to rest, for the 70 years of Sabbaths that were neglected from the time that Saul began to rule. Saul imposed such hardship on the people that they could no longer afford to let the land rest every 7 years. And there was you remember that from Leviticus, they laid it out and said, okay, every 7 years, this land is going to have to rest. And so from the time that Saul came to the throne, when Israel rejected God as their king and took a man as their king, that man used the authority that he had as the king to impose some hardships on the people that resulted in their inability to let the land lay out. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 8. At verse 10, Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people and asked him of a king. He said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, be his horsemen. Some shall run before the chariots. Verse 13, he'll take your daughters to be confectionaries. Verse 14, he'll take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, give them to his servants. 15, he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers. He will take your men servants, your maid servants. Verse 17, he will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. Verse 18, ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. You know what the king ended up doing? He ended up taking the tithe, the tenth, which was the Lord's. And so they couldn't afford to let that land lay out every 7 years. And this went on for 490 years. There were 490 years between Saul's ascension to the throne and Nebuchadnezzar's attack on Jerusalem. God let it go 70 times 7, just like he told Peter when Peter said, how many times do I need to forgive him? 70 times 7. He let that go 70 times 7 until there were 70 Sabbaths that had been missed. And then God said, that's it. You're going into captivity, and this land is going to rest for 70 years. Let me give you another one. God set the time for the birth of Jesus Christ. God set the time for the birth of Jesus Christ. See, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time to every purpose under heaven. Well, when you run out the dates in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, go over there with me real quick, and you run these dates out, you get to the birth of the Messiah. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times, and the prophecy goes on. But the idea is there's 70 weeks, or 70 times 7, to give you the full count of years here, and what's left is Daniel's 70th week to yet be fulfilled. When you run out this out, you know the time of the Messiah's birth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, and this is how the wise men from the east, Chaldeans, the land of the Chaldeans, where Babylon is east of Israel, and east of Judah. And notice in Matthew chapter 2, When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So these guys knew the prophecy that Daniel had given in Daniel chapter 9. They were, among other things, astrologers, according to Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. So at the right time, they start looking for the new star, and they see the star of the Messiah and come into Judea, and they are looking for the King of the Jews. And how did they know to be looking at that time? God set the time for the birth of Christ. It's an amazing thing. Listen, the Lord has all these things set. And the deal is, as you're seeing, is that you want to get in on God's timing. Let me give you one more, because this is really interesting, and then we're going to make some application here, because all this is very interesting, but it's not going to do you much good unless you can make some application to your life. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. I love this one. I love them all. But this one, particularly because of something that's said in the prophecy. In Revelation chapter 9, there are four angels that are in the Euphrates. They're bound in the great river Euphrates, and they're waiting for their time to be loosed. Revelation 9:14, this happens when the sixth angel sounds, according to verse 13, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared, watch it, for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men, and so forth. Now look at this. The time that the four angels are loosed from the Euphrates is set down to the very hour, the very day of the very month of the very year in which it will happen. And God has had that time set for at least 2,000 years, or nearly 2,000 years, because that's when John wrote this down nearly 2,000 years ago. For at least 2,000 years. He's known this. And you know, honestly, when you see all this, God's known this from eternity, because His foreknowledge is eternal. But I'm just telling you, God set the time for the flood. He set the time for the Exodus. He set the time for the Jewish captivity. He set the time for the birth of Christ. He set the time for the loosing of these four angels. And you can go on and look at other prophecy, but consider this. There is a time to every purpose under the heaven. Well, you know what? That would indicate then that God has a set time for certain things in your life. That's right. God has a set time. You may not want to work according to His time, but He has a set time for your marriage. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, Esther is married. She's a Jew. She's married to King Ahasuerus. And what's happened? Haman, the right-hand man of the king, has made a decree that all the Jews in Shushan, which is where the palace is, and in all the provinces of the king, and there are 127 of those, are to be killed on the 13th day of the 12th month of that particular year. Esther, it turns out, is the only one who can intervene if God will use her to intervene. Now, you know what happens? Look, Mordecai, her first cousin, tells her, because he's the one that raised her, that she cannot escape as a Jew because she's in the king's house. And so in Esther 4:14, he says, "If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" The time of her marriage to King Ahasuerus is something that God set to be able to protect His own people. Listen. Don't be hasty when it comes to marriage. Let God work the thing out in your life so that the timing of your marriage allows you to become a prudent wife to be given to the right man. A prudent wife is from the Lord, Proverbs 19:14. A prudent wife is from the Lord. People say, "Well, how do I find the right man? How do I prepare for marriage?" And I say to you, you know, the thing to do is, if you're a woman, become the prudent wife that God can give to the right man. Because a prudent wife is from the Lord. You say, "Well, I don't know what it means to be prudent." Then study your Bible and look it up and become one of those. And when you are one, you'll know what it is. Listen, you want God to work the timing out of your marriage. I know that the impulses and desires of your flesh would lead you to believe that at a very early age you should be married. But the truth of the matter is that God oftentimes wants you to wait for your maturity, for your prudence, or in the case of a man, he wants you to become the right man to love and lead a wife, not love and leave a wife, but love and lead a wife, and to be favored by the Lord. You know, Proverbs 18:22 says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Listen, you want to be favored by the Lord in your marriage, then wait until you have become the right man so he can give you a prudent wife. And then you'll recognize, man, the timing of this was right. How many stories have I heard of young men who were dating seriously a young lady? They broke it off. Later he found the wife that he married, and they married, you know, till she passed away, or they're still married. And they will say to you, and I mean this goes across the board of many men, I am so thankful that I didn't marry that particular person that I thought I wanted to marry way back then. Listen, we've got young men and young women that we have seen that have been hasty in their decision to marry. And I'll tell you the telltale sign that the thing wasn't right. Now, they've got what they wanted in their marriage, and they are not faithful in church today. And it's a telltale sign that the thing was too hasty, too quick. Wait for God to order your steps and timing in your marriage. All right, here's the next thing. Since there's a time to every purpose, there's also a time for your death. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. All right. The time of our death is appointed. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. We read about Elisha. Elisha knew the time of his death had come. He became ill. He didn't try to seek out healing. He prepared his house and passed away. Hezekiah's time came. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, the prophet came to me. He said, look, it's your time. You're up. Isaiah came. So you're done. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6 is where all this is. But Isaiah said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Well, Hezekiah started praying and crying out to God, weeping sore. And God said, I've heard thy prayer, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God gave him 15 more years, but also some very bad things happened during that time. Manasseh, the wickedest king Judah ever had, was born during that time because Manasseh was only 12 years old after Hezekiah died when he took the throne. He was a terrible king. Furthermore, Hezekiah, during that time, because he'd been healed, showed all of the treasures of his kingdom to the men from Babylon. And you know what? They lusted after those. And Isaiah said, those guys are going to come in here and they're going to take every one of those things. And they're going to take your kids and make eunuchs out of them. Listen, when you face a terminal illness, just remember that it might be your time. Prayerfully consider, I'm not telling you not to do it. Listen, just prayerfully consider your options before jumping into the medical options. Because you've got to know where God is in on this thing. If it's your time, then maybe you should be like Paul, who said, the time of my departure is at hand. I mean, some people report after taking all the medical options that the fight wasn't worth it, that they should have spent more quality time with their family instead of down at the doctor's office. So the timing of your marriage, the timing of your death, a lot of those things are set by the Lord. Listen, the time of your call, if you've been called into the ministry. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2, we read that God prophesied of King Josiah 351 years before this prophecy was fulfilled. He was the man God raised up to deal with the idolatry in Judah and in Israel. Listen, when God calls you, you have to realize that timing is of the utmost importance. It really is. Just because you've been called doesn't mean it's time for you to go into your call. Pastor Boatman, who was with us, trained for over 15 years before he became the pastor of Bible Baptist Church. Missionary Dunbar trained for 13 years under his pastor before moving to Brazil. Missionary Wells trained for at least a decade and a half under his pastor before moving to Papua New Guinea. You see, what happens is men often want to rush into the ministry before they're ready. Give God time to fully prepare and enable you so that then you can go and you can stand with the strength of the Lord God for the thing that He's called you to do. Finally, I want to say, since there's a time to every purpose, there's also a time for your salvation. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, there is a time for your salvation. And you know when that is? It's now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is ready for you to be saved. We recently met a young lady named Nicole who wanted God to provide her with evidence that He is real. Her boyfriend said, "What more evidence do you need besides the fact that He died for your sins and He rose from the dead to give you eternal life?" And you know what she said? "I just want God to do something now that shows me He's real." Well, you know what? It turns out that a lady in Walmart had stopped her to witness to her 2 weeks before we talked with her. And then her father sent her a Bible the week before we talked with her. And then we talked with her at the restaurant and gave her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, "The strange thing is, you're telling me the exact same thing that woman told me 2 weeks ago." Then you know what she said? "I think maybe God is trying to get my attention." Indeed. Indeed. God was trying and is trying to get her attention. And if He's trying to get your attention by hearing that you can be saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior because He died for your sins and He rose to give you eternal life, then you know what? You can be saved today. This message you're hearing right now is following up on something that has recently happened to you that is letting you know God's trying to get your attention. Why don't you yield to what He's doing and receive Him? Because you know why? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, and God bless you when you receive Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.